There's mystery wheat in Oregon, and it has both GMO supporters and opponents wondering why. Monsanto continues to point to sabotage and maintains it had the seeds incinerated last year, but the GMO-contaminated crop is exactly the nightmare anti-GMO activists have feared. Bill Fries is a science policy analyst at the Center for Food Safety based in Washington, D.C. We talked during his recent visit, and I asked if the Oregon case is an isolated incident.
No, this is actually a regular occurrence where genetically engineered crops contaminate conventional organic crops. And, you know, it's happened dozens or actually hundreds of times since genetically engineered crops were first introduced. Some of the larger incidents with the greatest impacts on farmers were in, for instance, 2000, genetically engineered Starling corn got into the food supply. It was actually suspected of causing food allergies in people, so it had only been approved for animal feed use. It ended up causing huge disruptions in export markets, and actually foods were recalled from the supermarket shelves.
And that's a point, that we've had other cases like this before that have gone even farther than perhaps what will happen with the Oregon mystery wheat. Still, it's quite unsettling to think about how this case could have happened where suddenly this strain of wheat is found in a farmer's 125-acre plot in eastern Oregon. Have there been any more clues that you've been able to uncover than what we're hearing in the press?
No, not as of yet. I think the one thing that's certain is that the field testing ended in 2005, and only 8 years later was this detected. Now, what that means is that somehow this genetically engineered wheat has been out there in some form, and we don't know exactly how. There are a number of possible avenues. It's really hard to speculate. One thing is wheat farmers tend to save a lot of seed. So, you know, if it once got into a wheat farmer's crop and that farmer saved seed, you know, the contamination could continue for years without being detected and then be passed on further years later.
Do you think that Monsanto is being disingenuous in its claim that perhaps this might be a case of sabotage?
Yeah, there's absolutely no positive evidence to support that speculation. And to us, it's clear that Monsanto is using that to, you know, basically try to take the blame away from itself. And it's really sad. They should own up, you know, take responsibility for this. In past incidents, we've had similar time lags between, you know, the end of field testing and the discovery of contamination. And no one has ever suggested sabotage in those cases.
At this point, when we're still waiting for more information, are you casting your eye about to see if perhaps there are other incidences of contamination that we haven't yet talked about that we should be talking about?
The difficulty is the testing. A lot of these crops never go beyond the experimental stage, and that means we don't have the means for testing. And in fact, USDA had to go to Monsanto to get the means to test for the Roundup Ready wheat. So that's a real problem, and we've called on USDA to have tests in place for all of the experimental crops that are grown, and they haven't done that. It's really unfortunate. The whole regulatory system is very, very lax, and it's basically been designed for the convenience of the biotech companies to expedite matters for them, and very minimal attention is given to prevention of contamination events of this sort.
On Kauai, where apparently they haven't been able to get a list of exactly what pesticides have been used, how do we create more of attention here to be able to find out what pesticides are in use and what that means for the people who are as close to them as they are in Kauai?
Well, you know, Councilman Gary Hooser has introduced a bill. It's called 2491. It's a county ordinance that would obtain, you know, it would require disclosure from the biotech seed companies on the pesticides they use, where they use them, how often. It would also establish, you know, reasonable buffer zones to protect schools, you know, to protect our children from these chemicals. Very reasonable measures. It's mostly a right to know bill that would, you know, provide the basis for kind of informed decisions about, you know, whether and to what extent to allow these, you know, field tests and under what conditions. And then, you know, establish some reasonable common sense standards to protect Kauai citizens.
When Gary Hooser did this, though, it was in response to the fact that he couldn't find out what those pesticides were. and that he was very concerned that there was not enough protection for the kids. Would that protection really be safe enough?
The bottom line is that it would be a big improvement over what we have now, which is essentially no buffer zones at all for schools. I mean, literally, these companies can spray the pesticides right up, you know, next to a school, and that's clearly unacceptable. So part of the Gary's bill would involve an environmental impact statement. So I think it would, you know, analyze a lot of these issues to then, you know, set the proper conditions going forward.
You've made several trips to Hawaii to just keep abreast of what's happening here. What else do you have on your scopes that you think we don't have on ours?
Well, it's really been interesting. The past, I would say, 6 months to a year has been really exciting. There seems to be a growing consciousness of, you know, genetically engineered crops. For instance, we've seen a lot of labeling efforts. As your listeners probably know, in California, there was a major effort to get a labeling of genetically engineered foods that very narrowly lost. And only after enormous, you know, kind of PR ads, misinformation ads funded by Monsanto and other companies. But there are also a number of other bills and other state legislators that a couple of which have passed provisionally, Connecticut, Maine, and Vermont, for instance. I think there's also growing awareness of this pesticide connection with genetically engineered crops. These companies, they're pesticide companies that in the past two decades they've bought up much of the seed supply. And they've mainly used genetic engineering in order to generate seeds that are resistant to their chemicals. They're herbicide-resistant crops, as they're called. And this model of farming is totally unsustainable. It involves intensive pesticide use. It breeds resistant weeds and resistant bugs. And it just leads onto this, what we've called a chemical arms race with pests that is in no one's best interest except perhaps the bottom lines of these companies.
In Hawaii, we're also great consumers of fish for a lot of obvious reasons. Are there more questions for you than answers about farmed fish and what's GMO that we should know about that perhaps we just go right by?
Well, there's a small company called Aqua Bounty, which has developed a genetically engineered salmon. It's been engineered with a growth hormone gene so that it grows much more quickly than regular salmon, and presently they've applied to FDA for approval of this fish. It's pending. We're not sure. You know, we expect actually that FDA might make a decision fairly soon on it. And, you know, one of the main concerns there is that this fish, even though the approval would only be for, you know, contained release, that it could get into open waters and breed with native wild salmon with very unpredictable consequences. It could, you know, really have negative impacts on natural fish populations. So there are real concerns with this genetically engineered fish, and there's actually quite a bit of opposition to it, even, for instance, among some conservative lawmakers in Alaska who see their native, you know, salmon fisheries threatened.
Got to hit them in the pocketbook.
That's right. You know, I think that's what it comes down to in many cases. But, I really feel pretty hopeful. There's a lot of really positive developments going on in the world of food. I think people are just becoming, you know, more and more aware that our present food system is, you know, very unsustainable. A lot of people are realizing now that industrial agriculture in general promotes, you know, global warming, and we need to get away from these input-intensive practices and towards a more ecologically sane approach, which is very doable. You know, it's certainly possible to go toward a much less pesticide-dependent model, organic but also low-input systems where pesticides are only used as a last resort rather than kind of regularly.
Bill, we'll end it on that very positive note. Thanks so much.
Okay. Nice talking with you, Beth Ann. Aloha.
Bill Fries is a science policy analyst at the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Food Safety. We talked while he was in Hawaii recently to participate in a GMO panel discussion.